Hello and welcome to Baseball Barbacast, the only baseball podcast in the world more insightful than Gabe Kapler. I'm Jake Mintz. That's Jordan Schusterman. Just walk faster.
Oh, we'll see about that. It's a pretty high bar to clear. We are going to finally talk about the words of wisdom delivered on Gabe Kapler's Instagram regarding hustling is the simplest way, I think, to put it.
He does every day.
Every day. We are going to get to that. And honestly, I almost feel bad that it has taken this long for us to talk about this. We are going to talk about that in the second half of our show. We do have a few more transactions that happen. Jake is still here in Indiana visiting me. He will fly home tonight. But I got to say, while Wednesday was nice, we had a lot of moves to talk about. We have a couple today. This show, I'm more excited about. I feel like we've settled in. You know, on Wednesday, we had just got back from the airport. We were both tired, and it was just like, holy shit, like, transactions. These are some topics I'm much more excited to sit next to my friend Jake in the same room and talk about.
It turns out that if you spend time around the people you work with,
yeah,
you will come up with more creative ideas if you're talking about baseball all day.
All right. And that's how it all began. Huh. For Jake and I over 10 years ago. Holy shit. Holy So we have moves to talk about. We got Jock Peterson. We got Dave Robertson. We'll talk about them. I am going to kind of review the world of fan fests because we have a ton of them happening this weekend.
Okay.
And we were kind of talking about them yesterday, and I was curious, like, oh, like, some teams have fan fests and some teams clearly don't. But I dug into it, and I found who does, who doesn't, who used to, and all these things, and I'll reveal those stats to you. We are going to talk about Gabe Kapler. The Yankees are changing their jerseys for some reason. And then we have a couple Red Sox adjacent interesting topics, as well as a follow-up from an email question we had recently.
Which is, can Jake throw harder than Jerry DePoto?
Yes.
And we have some insight from Jerry DePoto's son.
Yes. So stay tuned for all that, but let us begin. Let's get, again, it is January 26th. There are still plenty of free agents available.
None of them are free, though.
No, that's actually a good point. They are currently free. They are free to decide, but the cost will be far from free. If they were free, I imagine this would not be taking this long.
They're expensive agents.
Yes, they are expensive agents, but they deserve to be waiting for the money they get. And Jeff Passan basically wrote at ESPN today or this week, basically being like, his two main takeaways, because there wasn't too much like massively interesting scoops in terms of connecting teams and players, but he made the parallel to the 2017-2018 offseason, another time when Boris kind of dominated the top of the market, and he took four of his clients, including Eric Hosmer, including Moustakas, Jake Arrieta, and I think JD Martinez. He also took all of those guys like into February, and the other point he made is that even though it's been slow this offseason, the market doesn't actually seem to be down. Like, the deals that players are getting, it's not like, oh, yikes, like, teams are really, like, players are settling. That does not appear to be happening. And so I think that there's still confidence that these guys at the top are still going to end up. And let's not be surprised. I know there's people online talking themselves and being like, maybe Matt Chapman's only going to cost $80 million.
Still going to cost.
No fucking shot. These guys are still going to get a boatload of money. We just have to be patient. But we did get a few transactions, and we're going to run through them quickly.
Let's begin
with young Jock Peterson. Not quite so young anymore. But he signs with the Arizona Diamondbacks, a team we essentially knew were going to have to sign another hitter. They have kind of been one of the more aggressive teams coming off their surprising pennant run. And while there were definitely rumors about maybe a reunion with JD Martinez, who was, of course, amazing for them after they traded for him a few years back, it seems like Jock, they settled for a left-handed bat and someone whose basically expected stats were identical each of the last two seasons. The actual production was much down in 2023. But in terms of quality of contact, he's become one of the more reliable left-handed hitters in the game.
2 years ago, in 2022, he hit .274, .353, .521, which is a 146 OPS plus in San Francisco. Mm-hmm. Okay, this was one of the best hitters in the league 2 years ago. Like you said, he was a little bit fortunate. Last year, he was a little bit unfortunate. Mm-hmm. Jock Peterson, when he entered our world, he was this dual speed, power, threat. He has left one of those two traits behind in the rearview mirror.
Very behind. I mean,
this guy went 30-30 in AAA.
Yeah, in AAA, right, in Oklahoma City. Albuquerque. This is before they were in Oklahoma City. This is the last year when they were in Albuquerque, 2014. Yeah, one of the more memorable minor league seasons, right? When we're like starting to do this and covering prospects, and I was like, holy shit, Jock Peterson, like going 30-30. And then, but here's the funny thing, that speed never carried over to the major leagues at all. As soon as he got to the big leagues, he was done running.
He had more steals in that season in AAA than he has his entire major league career combined.
That's crazy.
22 steals as a big leaguer. Yeah. And so Jock Peterson, the big leaguer, has been a very different thing. He has been a very fun player to have in our lives. Mm-hmm. He has gotten less athletic every year and has settled into swing hard designated hitter.
Yeah, he's gotten less athletic, but a better hitter basically every season. You know, he was platooned a lot with the Dodgers. He proved that he could at least handle lefties as he got older. He struggled against lefties a little bit more in 2023. But again, as I mentioned, quality of contact. When you compare the last two seasons, 367 ex-WOBA 2022, 366 ex-WOBA 2023. Identical. But the actual WOBA was 373 in 2022, 331 in 2023. Diamondbacks are looking at him and saying, hey, come hit here. San Francisco, not exactly the friendliest place that you're going to be hitting in half your games. And it's perfect. I think it's a great fit.
Can I say?
Yeah.
Diamondbacks love their offseason.
Oh, yeah.
Love their offseason. Their offense, even though they went to the World Series at times in October, was very imbalanced.
Yep.
And frankly, tough to watch.
Yeah.
At times.
Well, it was an 84 win team. It wasn't a team that you were like, damn, like this lineup. Like, we weren't saying that at any point during the regular season. It was a young team. They would run, they would bunt, whatever. It was
we need some thump.
Now,
just want to go through it. Corbin Carroll, Ketel Marte, Christian Walker, Jock Peterson, Gabby Moreno, Eugenio Suarez, Alec Thomas, bringing back Lourdes Gurriel Jr. and Geraldo Perdomo. That's a very good lineup. That is a good lineup.
And so they bring back Gurriel, and I am curious if this opens up a door for another potential trade, because they still have a ton of outfielders. And if you're bringing in Jock to take most of the DH reps, that means Gurriel's going to be back in left, and we have that outfield alignment that we pretty much had in the postseason, which is Gurriel in left, Thomas in center, and Carroll in right. You still have Jake McCarthy there. I mean, he was really good in 22, bad last year. You still have Dominic Fletcher. They still have multiple other outfielders in the upper levels that I think could make a difference. We still don't really know where Jordan Lawler fits into this conversation. So I wouldn't be surprised if Arizona is still a team to be aggressive on the trade market over the next month. We'll see what they can do there. But I agree. It's a really strong, interesting lineup. And we have to point out, I mean, people have made this joke, obviously, but Jock Peterson replacing Tommy Pham is funny.
It's funny.
Yeah, that's funny. It's funny.
We're low on the
whole slap fantasy football. Like, it's not like it was overplayed like to an extreme degree.
People hit people.
Yeah. And like, yes, it was a unique and odd conversation thing to happen. And yes, I understand but those jokes got played out. So, however,
This is funny.
Jock Peterson plays Tom Sam.
Other news. David Robertson.
Yeah.
The long time. Reliever.
I mean, this is one of the longest tenured players we have in Major League Baseball, right? I mean, this guy, this dude won the World Series with the Yankees, which was a long time ago.
I don't know if you know, but it's been a minute. He debuted in 2008, the age of 23 with the Yankees. He is going to be 39 this season on his fourth team, which will be the Texas Rangers. 1 year.
Fourth team. What do you use?
I said eighth team.
Oh, yeah, I heard fourth team. Sorry.
Eighth team. Sorry. with the Texas Rangers for a whopping 1 year, $12 million.
Yeah.
A lot. That's a lot more than I thought. And isn't David Robertson his own agent?
Oh, I know he was at one
self,
point.
Yes.
So
on BREF, it says agent self. So unless he's getting former Kansas basketball coach Bill Self to represent him, he's doing it on his own.
Now, I would say credit to him for
heck of a negotiation.
The Rangers were a team, it was so interesting because we spend the whole year being like, oh my God, their bullpen is a disaster, disaster, disaster. And then Josh Spores is like, yo, I'm Mariano Rivera, what a do.
How about that timing?
Say LeClerc. But clearly, you know, Chris Young's still looking at this bullpen and like, hey, this bullpen still needs work. There were a spot where people assumed maybe if they were spending big this winter, maybe they were going to go after like a Josh Hader type, a Jordan Hicks type, a Robert Stevenson type. Instead, they end up with 39-year-old David Robertson, who at times last year was still pretty good. He had a couple disaster outings after the trade to the Marlins, but the strikeouts have generally still been there. And remember, this is a guy who we thought his career was over. Like, he going into after 2019 with the Phillies, disaster, injury, didn't pitch in 2020.
He played in the Olympics in 2021 because he couldn't find a team. Mm-hmm. And so when the USA team went to Japan in the Tokyo Olympics, mm-hmm. it was a lot of minor leaguers.
Yep.
But there were a couple older guys who didn't have clubs at the time. And David Robertson was on that team, showed well enough to get back into affiliated ball. Mm-hmm. And then since then, he has just been David Robertson again and made a whole lot more coin.
Oh, yeah.
Relieving in the big leagues.
Yeah, he's racked up still a bunch more saves. Obviously, you know, the first 7 years of his career, he was the seventh and eighth inning guy in New York. And he's still good. I mean, I am also surprised he got $11 million. But I 12. Guess. So, okay, he got more than Chapman. From the team that essentially just let Chapman go. Now, obviously, the Rangers have more to give in theory than the Pirates, but that's I think I'm surprised by that. I mean, it's a very similar deal. But.
Chapman throws near 100 still, and David Robertson does not. That maybe is why it's surprising.
But David Robertson, people really like having David Robertson around. I think more than Chapman, but maybe yes. I'm wrong about that. Either way, he is at least someone that he definitely fits the Rangers, you know, veteran, you know, white accomplished person motif.
Which is now a time to bring up our favorite David Robertson story, Jordan.
Sure.
Which is related to Texas and the Rangers in a very specific way.
That's a good point. So maybe this will come back up.
2018. Jake and Jordan are working at MLB.com, and we are sent to cover CeCe Sabathia's charity softball game at not Citi Field, that would be weird, at Yankee Stadium. And we're working the red carpet like the grinders we are.
Right.
And we're asking all these guys, like, when were you the most starstruck?
Yes.
Because there's all these celebrities around. Action Bronson is there. Oh, yep. My God. Jesus and Mero before they split up were there, right?
Yep,
like,
yep. There was all kinds of former Yankees, right? Rivera, Posada's there, and of course, obviously we talked to CeCe there, and I think Jeter was there, and we did not talk to him.
He did not talk to us.
Yeah, he did not talk to us. Yes.
Anyway,
but we talked to a bunch, and David Robertson rolls through. Which again, at this point, this is when he's back on the Yankees
after the White Sox.
After the White Sox, right? So he was on the Yankees, goes to the White Sox, and ended back in the Yankees. And we asked David Robertson, and his first answer was...
When were you the most starstruck, David?
He says, well, I always like, oh, someone asked me this before. And I said, Papa John. We were like, oh, okay. But then it seems like he was like, someone asked me this before. He's like, yeah, I said Papa John. But then I thought about it, and really the answer is George W. Bush.
Woo!
So maybe that will come back up at his Rangers press conference. That he'll be like, Rangers, yeah, you know, I actually always secretly loved the Rangers because I loved, you know, W. It's like, all right. So we'll see what happens with that. I wouldn't put it past him. Anyway, that was one of the crazier interview answers we've ever gotten.
Papa John, being starstruck by Papa John, I think I get. I don't know if starstruck is the right word.
Yeah.
Like, shocked by him as a real person.
Struck. Maybe not as much.
And let's just say, Jordan, when was this, the date on this? It was like late May.
When we talked.
When was this? Oh, no, it was September, I think.
Yeah, it was later in the summer. Yeah.
Papa John stepped down mm-hmm. from Papa John's in earlier that year.
In 2018.
In 2018, it was revealed that he used the N-word.
Yeah.
Now, whether or not... Robertson knew this at the time is up for debate. Yeah,
this is why,
but like, maybe not the best.
This is why we were like, okay, cool, maybe, man. A different anyone answer.
Else? Yeah. Anybody else? Anyway. Papa John, George H.W. Bush, two American heroes.
Maybe you're right. Maybe we're conflating some of the timing, but either way, it was something. Anyway, that's David Robertson. He will help the Rangers, and I guess I am. The last thing on this, like, is I am curious. Like, is he the closer?
Papa John?
We're done with Papa John. Is he the closer? Like, for what Leclerc and Josh Spores did in October, now I'm sure they're very tired, But like David Robertson, like that's what he does. He probably thinks they probably at least telling him he's going to have a chance to close. But anyway, we will find out. Rangers also made a couple other minor signings. They signed Matt Duffy. I saw a quote about Matt Duffy being excited to be reunited with Bruce Bochy. So that makes a lot of sense.
How excited is Bruce Bochy to be reunited with Matt Duffy, though?
Oh, shit. What have you been up to,
Matt Duffy? Hey, man. Hey, man.
They also signed Jared Walsh. And I just wanted to touch on this briefly because, one, you know, while the Rangers have not spent a lot of money this offseason, they haven't replaced Mitch Garver. And while they have a lot of good position players, one of the questions I've seen Rangers fans ask is, are they going to just replace Mitch Garver? Now, I don't think Jared Walsh is, you know, option A to replace Mitch Garver, but it is a reminder seeing Jared Walsh and seeing him sign a minor league deal that he was one of the crazier, I guess it seems not kind enough to call it, you know, a flash in the pan or a shooting star, because it was a full season. This was not, you know, an Aquino situation, right? Mm-hmm. Like, this was a full all-star year in 2021 that Jared Walsh did, having come up as a senior sign, a former 39th round pick, and he had seemed to become like a... He'd figured something out. It was a development story that he had incredible success, a huge lefty power. And then poof, just totally gone, had some injuries, and then he's just been so bad and so hurt. But I think it's real, more bad than hurt, at least the past few years. So a very interesting one, and if he resurfaces with the Rangers, that's going to piss some people off. But good for him. Good for him if he could find it again, because he really was a force. That's a good example of another thing that like happened to the Angels in a positive way that they did not capitalize on whatsoever. Like, they had Jared Walsh just like appeared and was an awesome hitter, all-star hitter. They still didn't finish above 500 in that season either. So sorry, Angels.
And then the last one is the Orioles.
Yes.
Signed left-handed pitcher.
Yes.
Ronald Guzman.
Yes. Now, it's actually also Jared Walsh, who was a two-way player. He pitched a little bit in the minor leagues. Ronald Guzman.
Not a two-way player traditionally. He was a top prospect with the Rangers. Yep. Had a lot of hype coming up the chain. Made the big leagues with them and was like their starting first baseman and outfielder, or mostly first base. 18, 19.
When they were really bad.
And he just didn't hit enough. Ended up on the Yankees in 2022, and I think had the single worst game in Yankees history that I was at. It was incredible. I believe he went 0-for-5 with 4 strikeouts and a double play grounded in 2 with the bases loaded in extra innings.
And they won that game.
It was against the Twins, yes.
Yes, first game of a doubleheader, and it was his first game.
It was his first game with the Yankees, and I would believe he was hitting 4th. In his first game, yes, he was hitting 4th. This is when the Yankees were like totally tail spinning at the end of 22. Mm-hmm. And he, in his first game, hit 4th. And everyone was like, what the frick are you doing,
Aaron? He was like doing pretty well in AAA, but it was still strange.
He was so excited to be a Yankee. I remember talking to him about it.
Right, because he has a lot of family in New York. And like
0-for-5, 4 strikeouts, and a double play. So he has since converted. Yes. No, not to Judaism. But as far as we know, to the mound.
Yes, to the mound, up to 96 apparently. Had a brief stint. He actually did pitch. He even appeared in an inning, I think, that was more like as a position player in that season. He signed with the Giants and was kind of working with them as a reliever. Got injured, never appeared in a game. He actually appeared in a couple games during this winter ball season in the Dominican. Those did not go well. Was not throwing strikes. But again, if you're a lefty and you can throw 96 miles an hour, teams are probably going to want to give you a shot. And this is a cool story. Now,
just got to get him on campus.
Now, the Orioles being the team, it's both perfect because it's like Orioles are creative. They'll figure it out. That'll be great. But it's also like a version of like, Orioles, please just, can you get a pit, like a real, like an actual pitcher? Right, the Orioles,
everyone's like, can you sign someone? They're like,
Draper
sure.
Can you sign? They're like, yeah, we'll get Ronald Guzman.
What about Ronald Guzman?
Anyway, very strange decision, but hey, we're rooting for him. That would be a hell of a story if he can. How far down is he on the Orioles lefty relief depth chart?
I would say quite low. He's behind David Fry, who's not even on the team anymore.
He's behind Coulomb for sure.
Hell yeah, dude.
Coulomb, DL Hall, CNL Perez. Yeah, he's definitely behind all those guys.
Yeah, because they're pitchers and he's a man with a dream.
He's behind He's behind Keegan Aiken.
Yes, Jordan. He's behind everybody in AAA. He is behind every left-handed reliever in AAA.
I hope that you go to Orioles spring training and you see Ronald Guzman throw a pitch. Whether it's in a game or it's on a backfield, I hope, because I'm not confident it's going to extend into the season, I just hope that you witness Ronald Guzman stand on the mound and throw a pitch in the next couple months.
Thank you, Jordan. And I hope you dance. Let's move on. Those are all the transactions.
Yes.
So we're going to pivot to FanFest. Now, yes. I have never been to a FanFest.
I have.
Jordan has been to Nats FanFest.
Yes, it was Winterfest.
Winterfest. Now, the reason that we were interested in this is, like you said, there's a lot of them happening this weekend. Mm-hmm. And we were curious how many teams have FanFest, mm-hmm. how many of them call them Fest, how many call them Con, how many mm-hmm. of them call them Caravan.
Mm-hmm. Well, right. So caravans are a part of this conversation because FanFest is what it sounds like. It is a day during the offseason when a lot of players, former players, come to usually the stadium or a convention center, and it's just like, boom, you get autograph signings, you get Q&A, you get, and we, of course, we talked about CubsCon recently. That is definitely one of the biggest ones when you're calling it a convention. As far as I can tell, they're actually the only one that calls it a con, but there's some other good names for these, which I certainly enjoyed. So I looked into this last night because I also have remembered some discourse about teams that used to have it that have taken it away, and fans have been really bummed about that.
Yes.
And that makes sense, right? Because, again, this is meant to, regardless of how good your team is, it is an opportunity for fans to come together and celebrate their team and meet their players and get autographs and get pictures and hear Q&As and do, like, again, the Cubs do all kinds of fun stuff and it creates all kinds of cool social content and whatnot. So it's a really cool thing. And again, we talked about the CubsCon. Like, it's a great opportunity to get a bunch of your prospects to come hang out with some of your big league players. Like,
right.
It's not that complicated. Like, it's a cool thing that baseball teams, in theory, should all do. But that is not the case. And so I looked into it, and here is what I found, Jake. There are 30 Major League Baseball teams. How many of them do you think have an active either FanFest or Caravan or both, which we'll get to in a second. So how many do you think? How many of the 30 have one like this year, like active? It either happened already or is going to happen.
22.
19.
Okay,
so 19. Now, here are the teams that have FanFest. Just standard set. Dodgers, Cubs, Padres, Guardians, Astros, Braves. This is not in any order. Rays, Rangers, Reds, Twins, Cardinals, Red Sox, Rockies, Pirates, Marlins, Royals, Orioles, Giants. Couple interesting notes here. The Brewers, they brought it back for the first time since COVID, and then it got snowed out. So that fucking sucks. So it sounds like the Brewers are bringing it back. Now we're going to get to the teams that have not done it since COVID or longer. The Brewers brought it back this year, and then it got canceled.
Thank you to the Brewers.
That's a bummer.
The Brewers FanFest getting canceled for snow is appropriate.
Yeah, but it sucks. So that's unfortunate. But it seems like the Brewers at least tried. So credit to them. They had not done it since then. Then you have teams that also do caravans in addition. Now, caravan is something, again, usually you're getting on a, it's interesting whether they're using a bus, they're using an RV. Sometimes they use different interesting vehicles to make it more interesting than it is. But they go around the community and they go to like elementary schools and they go to, you know, libraries and whatever, and they show up. The Birdland Caravan.
That is a thing and it's happening right now.
That is a thing and it's happening right now. And apparently the Orioles used to have regular FanFest, and then since COVID, they've turned it into a caravan. But credit to them, they've brought it back, and it's still a way to connect with the community.
Yeah, they're just like sending Ryan Mountcastle to Anne Arundel to,
exactly.
You know.
Exactly. The Giants used to have a regular FanFest. This year, they're doing something similar, but they're going on a tour 3 weekends in a row to Sacramento, San Jose, and the Napa with players.
Sounds like they're trying to take some A's.
Well, we'll get to the A's later, obviously. And then they're having an open house at Oracle Park in March. So the players obviously won't be there. So that's probably just like,
an
hey, come
open
out.
Open house?
That's what they're calling it, which is probably just like, hey, just come run around on the field.
Wait, that's so funny because an open house implies that you get to buy it.
Right. Or like, yeah, you're seeing like, oh, would I remodel this kitchen?
I'm going to show up with my fiance in a sweater vest and say we're very interested in the property.
Yes. We have three teams that do caravans and FanFest. Twins, the Reds and the Rangers. So that's, they're maxing it out. That's like the maximum of fan, you know, service, which credit to them. Reds are amazing at this kind of thing. Now, a couple of the notes on those teams that do it. First of all, I love that the Rays don't do it until February 17th because they can, because all the players are just down there reporting to spring training. It's by far the latest. Like, it's basically, they just do it. Yeah, most of these teams are doing it in the next like week or two, but that's another one. And then also the names you mentioned, what do they call them, right? Cubs Con. Most of them are just blah, blah, blah fest. But my favorite one I found is Royals Rally.
The Royals,
the Royals Rally.
So that's how they won in 2015.
Exactly.
It was a couple, bunch of Royals.
So rallies. So the Royals Rally is that's also, I think, coming up. So that's very exciting. So so credit to all those teams who are doing FanFest. Right. Very simple. And again, it's
literal,
it's a huge
fan
range.
Service.
It's a huge range of small market, big market, whatever, right? You have the Dodgers, the Padres, you have the Marlins and the Pirates and the Royals doing it. Okay. So now let's get to the teams that are not doing it. Because we have 9 teams that used to do it, but are no longer doing it.
Ooh.
Okay, let's go through those. The A's.
Yeah.
Well, duh. Okay, now the cool
A's,
thing.
A's, can you? I just want you to imagine. I want you to just picture in your head. 2024 A's Fan Fest.
Yeah.
What that would be.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so funny.
Yeah. But the cool thing is, as we've talked about this, there is some unofficial A's Fan Fest that is also essentially a de facto protest that the same people that, you know, organized to sell the team shirts and all that stuff, that is happening, and that is going to be lit, and that's happening in the next few weeks.
Are they
going to
get Geloff there?
No, I don't know. I don't know. It's, I doubt they're going to have any active players.
Trevor May.
But the fans will be celebrating them. So that's cool. But obviously, A's, whatever. The White Sox are no longer doing Sox Fest. That did used to be a thing. Now they're doing something, a season ticket holder party. Okay. Whatever.
Wet
that's,
fart
that's
noise.
Something, but it is not, obviously, that is not a, most of these things are free admission, right? Most of these things are just like show up and hang out with your team. So that's not that. Here's then a couple ones who just like used to have it and then don't do it anymore. The Mariners, the Tigers, the Phillies had Phillies Festival PH, that there's like a picture of Bryce Harper doing it in 2019, and then they haven't done it since then.
Well, because the Phillies were like, we just should get good.
Yeah, just get good, and then we don't have to worry about that. The Nationals haven't done Winterfest since before COVID. The Blue Jays did.
Opposite. The Nats are the opposite strategy.
That makes,
right?
that makes more sense.
COVID happened and now they're bad, and they're like, what Fan Fest?
Same thing for the Tigers. They definitely used to do one. They don't do it anymore. The Blue Jays had one last year, but didn't do one this year. That's very strange. And then here are the two other funny ones. The Mets did it for the first time in 2020. And it like went really well. Like February 2020 was the first time they did a fan fest. It was great.
A
and the,
super spreader.
Well, that's one point. But the other funny part is the press release announcing it is like, come meet Carlos Beltran.
Wow.
And he didn't make it because he was canned in January. I don't know if Luis Rojas was there, but they have not brought it back. So the Mets were
because
like,
of Carlos Beltran.
I don't know, but anyway. But the really the funniest one, but it was also like the most disappointing, is that the Diamondbacks did it until last year. Last year they had done it for a long time. They brought it back after COVID, and then last year, before their improbable run, they're like, "Sorry, we're not doing this," and then they didn't do it this year. So tough for
what
this.
Do the Yankees do? I'm curious.
Okay, there's two teams I haven't mentioned. The Yankees and the Angels.
The Yankees and the Angels.
Because as far as I can tell, those are the only two teams where there is zero evidence whatsoever of any sort of fan
zero
fest.
Point of a Yankees fan fest. Zero.
I know.
Only bad things.
No,
can
I know.
Happen.
I know. It's funny though, because I did find evidence that there was their WFAN used to hold like an unofficial fan fest, which you could imagine what that scene was like. I think they did that for a while.
It's all the long time, first time.
Exactly.
Just
exactly.
In person.
Bingo, which again, like has got to be a hell of a scene. So Yankees and Angels are the two where I got nothing. The Angels, I found something where they do something like during the season, like in September. But again,
games?
That's not.
Those are called games.
Right, I know. It's like, I don't. So the point is, make of that what you will, because when you go through, every other team has either done it in the past and should bring it back, or is actively doing it. So that's what I learned. So
the Angels are the worst culprit here, because the Yankees don't need it.
Don't do it. Yeah,
you're the Yankees.
Yeah,
they don't, Yankees Fan Fest. Instead of that, there are Danish people wearing Yankees hats.
Right.
You know,
like, but it is still fun. But again, though, like you see the way the Dodgers and the Cubs and some of these other bigger, and the fact that the Mets brought it back and the Red Sox, apparently it is a relatively recent thing.
Can you imagine Yankees Fan Fest like last year they do Fan Fest and IKF is talking and all the fans boo?
That's exactly they right, though. Boo. But this is also, it's twofold. One, they don't need to make more fans. They're the Yankees. That's the obvious point. But the other thing, look at the fucking Red Sox. They do their winter weekend. They go up there and they get freaking roasted, right? They get crushed. And it's like, you think Hal Steinbrenner wants to get up there? Do you think Cashman wants to get up? I mean, Cashman's beefing with 8 reporters. You think he's going to get up on stage? Not that Cashman's scared of the fans.
They should but do like, the Joel Sherman versus Brian Cashman bout at Yankees Winterfest.
In public, I agree. But anyway, so like, that's the thing. Now, part of me is like, that's still weak, right? I'm sure Yankees fans, like, it would be...
Face the music.
Yeah, but also, but whatever, forget that stuff. Forget the ownership and front office speaking. Like, I mean, your players, like, people love your players. Again, are you gonna, here's the other thing. It's like, they're not going to make Aaron Judge sit for 7 hours and sign autographs. Like, they're never going to do that. As good a great of a humanitarian as Aaron Judge is, like, that's just not going to happen. So I think that's part of it too, which is disappointing. Honestly, but I don't care. Yankees fans, let us know. Like, is it something that you would want to do? Would you want to go to? I'm curious.
What about a specific player, like Gleyberfest?
you boil it down. You just pick like one or two players and you're like, listen, we're not doing the whole thing. You're not going to get Cashman, but you know, we'll give you Oswaldo.
Rortfest.
That's good. Is he still on the team?
Yeah. Never was.
Is he? I guess he'll be in. He'll be in Scranton probably. Wow, Ben Rorfett. Haven't thought about him. Anyway, there's my Fan Festa research. I hope you enjoyed that. And let me know if I missed anything. If you have been to any of these Fan Fests or I'm missing something about a caravan or something, let us know. BaseballBarbacast@gmail.com.
Is there a Yankees Fan Fest going on in only your mind? We'd love to hear about it.
There you go. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back talking about Gabe Kapler and how you should just walk faster.
Just walk faster.
We'll be right back.
And welcome back to Baseball Barbacast. Jake Mintz, Jordan Schusterman. Producer Chris has alerted us that I made a mistake. I stated a lie. Yes. Bill Self is still coaching Kansas, Chris.
Yes. Well, and you made a joke because this was in reference to David Robertson having his agent listed on his baseball reference page
as Self.
I don't know if Bill Self has any experience as an MLB PA certified agent.
So let me say,
yeah,
Bill Self was suspended.
Oh,
for recruiting violations, and I thought he got canned as a result.
You thought that was like he's gone.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, not quite to ball.
Not quite. Okay, let us talk about Gabe Kapler.
Jordan, I've been thinking about something.
Yes.
If you're trying to decide whether you're going to walk somewhere or Uber or drive, and Google Maps says it's going to take you 10 minutes via car, it's probably about right. But if it tells you it's going to take 15 or 17 minutes to walk that same distance, it could be wrong. All you have to do is walk fast, and you're cutting that down by 3 or 4 minutes. So don't let that make you get in a car. Just walk faster.
So you've just been thinking that recently?
That's what I always say. My grandparents used to say that to me when I was younger.
Yeah, yeah. So Gabe
about Kapler, Google Maps.
Here's the thing. This video is not surprising. This is a video that Gabe Kapler posted on his Instagram or on TikTok or something.
If it tells you it's going to take 15 or 17 minutes to walk that same distance, it could be wrong. All you have to do is walk fast, and maybe you're cutting that down by 3-4 minutes.
Giants manager Gabe Kapler, who has this offseason been hired by the Miami Marlins.
Exactly, and this is what I was getting to.
Assistant general manager.
Had Gabe Kapler been, you know, let go from the Giants, and he basically said this, like, he was contemplating just, like, disappearing and, like, getting in a... Ironically, I saw him talk about how he was thinking about, like, just doing some grand tour where he like gets an RV and drives from Canada to Chile or some crazy thing. And like, this is what I was expecting. And if he was posting videos like this of like words of wisdom and how he views the world when he was off the grid, like I'd be like, yeah, of course, that's Gabe Kapler. I love that. Like, he's probably on his way to work from work, thinking about work, which is now helping the Marlins, I guess,
develop one hitter,
and he's like, you know what is going to help Jacob Berry? If he walks faster. I love this so much. I mean, the real takeaway from the video is the only thing I really learned is that he seems to be anti-car, right? Because the line, don't let it make you get in a car, is really what that seems to be the thesis that he's most focused on.
I agree with that concept. Yesterday, Jordan.
Mm-hmm. That's true. We live this. We were going to go out to get some lunch. We looked at the Google Maps and said, oh, well,
there's 4-minute drive and 13-minute walk.
Right.
And I said,
I'm not going to let you make me get in a car.
And I think we walked faster.
Yeah.
And we got there quicker because of Gabe Kapler.
Yeah. No, there's no Uber here.
No Uber in Indiana.
Not an option. But either way, what else? Like, what else do you feel like you learned from this? Because on top of the fact that you have Every Day I'm Hustling in the background, on top of the fact that you have, like, it's just the earnestness. Like, it almost feels like when he starts talking, if you haven't seen this video before, and I'm sorry if I almost feel bad that if this is the first time you're hearing this, you heard it in Jake's rendition instead of like him saying it for the first time. Because when you first start watching it, like, I remember I saw the caption, whatever, this Talking Baseball account tweets it out, and it's like, wise words from Gabe Kapler.
You're expecting,
like, when
a
you
pivot.
Start watching it, you're like, oh shit, like, this is gonna go somewhere crazy. And then he's just like, walk faster.
And you're like, what?
I'm like, oh, yeah, for sure.
Sure, dude. Yeah, that's what's great about this, right? Is when Gabe Kapler was the manager of the Giants, he did not post very often. Gabe Kapler feels in his soul, like many of us do, a urge to post. He wants to post. And since leaving the Giants managerial position, he has become more of a poster.
Oh, yeah.
However, the fact that this nugget of advice past the internal threshold of should I post this is remarkable to me.
I mean, he lived this experience.
He
did this and he was like, oh shit, I just changed everybody's life by not
taking
that Uber.
People are never going to believe this. This is incredible. Right.
And so he's
with this one easy trick.
It's so
good. You can get there faster by foot.
Also, here, I'd say run. Like, you could cut it down by more than a couple minutes. So, if you start, that'd be so funny if he's like sprinting while he's taking this video. He's like, you want to cut down time? Like, start booking.
I think it'd be funnier if he was in a car. He was like, in this instance, I have a 2-hour drive. But in general, this is the advice I believe. Gabe Kapler, the character, is remarkable. You can understand when watching him speak why he was both great and abysmal at communicating with athletes simultaneously. He is a singular weirdo. I am happy he exists in our sport as a character because he is just so bizarre. Mm-hmm. He is never dull.
I hope he keeps posting. But that's the thing. It does make me wonder, like, were these the kinds of words of wisdom that he would, you know, open spring training with, right? Like, or has he been holding these in and being like, it's not appropriate for me to share this?
He's been masquerading as a normal guy for the last 4 years.
We know that's not true. I'm just saying that, like, he's understood that, like, he has a lot of things like this that he's been waiting. He understood it wouldn't be appropriate to necessarily deliver it. Or he thinks, like, this kind of advice is better and, like, more valuable for the public, for everybody. Like, he doesn't want to limit that information to just his clubhouse.
He wants everyone
to have access to walk faster. It's like a seminar. Walk faster.
You should do Walk Fest.
Thank you, Gabe Kapler. Please keep posting. All right. Next bit of news that I think means more to you than me. And you will, I guess you, I was going to say you're going to see this, but no, it's the Yankees have, again, Yankees fans, they're always wanting the Yankees to do things. And they're doing something. They are changing their uniforms.
They're going with
just pink. That'd be nice. Their road uniforms specifically will be changing. Jake, please describe to our audio listeners here, of which that is what people who listen to a podcast are. What is changing? Why are they changing this, if you know? And is this an improvement on their current road uniforms?
The Yankees road uniforms are the most straightforward uniforms in sports, I think. Mm. and they are getting more straightforward. Last year, gray uniform, New York across the chest in block font, navy lettering with a white outline, and a navy and white stripe piping around the sleeve. Did you like that sleeve piping? Bad news, it's gone. Did you like that white lettering around the edge? Bad news, it's gone. This is a return to the old days when the Yankees had this font, I believe, until 1973. So the Yankees are trying to, you know, turn the
back
clock
to when
back.
You know they were winning. Now here's the thing, bringing it back to our FanFest conversation, you could have announced this at FanFest. People would have gone crazy. They would have been like, "Oh shit, look at those new road jerseys!" You know,
those
you
are got, sick.
Yeah, you
dude.
Got like if Marinaccio like strolls out and is like, "Oh,
where's
like,
the trim?"
That'd be amazing. So, but I mean, this is it's a strange. These are the kind of decisions. It's like, who? That's always with the Yankees. Like, did Hal just wake up and was like, "We got to get back to the no trim days"? I don't know. I would love to know
it,
that.
It looks better, is my opinion.
You think it does look better? Okay.
We don't do uniform aesthetics often on this podcast because our feel for aesthetics is very low. And uniforms, in our opinion, are very subjective. It's yes. Like, I like the way that looks. I don't.
Yeah.
Okay. I like this. I think it's a clean look. It does make me think of it looks like an older uniform.
Yeah, I agree with that. Which is, it seems like that's what they're going for.
I did see one Yankees fan quote tweet this and say, "We are so back." Which is awesome.
Which, again, if you're trying to get back to when you were winning every year, great.
Maybe this person meant it from the perspective of the uniform itself.
I just...
Like,
oh.
we the uniform, are back.
But I just think, again, like, this is a great example of... Remember, they started their offseason by, like, doing a lot of self-reflection, trying to understand how they just had arguably their most disastrous season in 30 years. And they were like, what's one way we can change, right? Oh, okay. Are we too concerned about this when we are talking to our hitters and the communicate? No. Let's get back to the simple road grays when we were kicking everyone's ass.
We were too complicated last
that, year. Well, that trim was too distracting. And that should change things.
If the Tim Robinson shirts are expensive, then this jersey is very cheap. What are the odds that Hal Steinbrenner or Brian Cashman or I guess Aaron Boone makes reference to the uniform change as evidence that they are trying to get back to basics as an organization during spring training?
Oh, back to basics.
Like, oh, we're trying to get
back to our roots.
Back to our roots. Right. What do you think? You think any of them mentioned that?
I think so. I mean, the problem is we're not going to see them in spring training. So I don't. That's the part where I was going to pull up their schedule. Like, what is their first road series? Do they?
No, we're not going to see them. But I'm just saying,
Boone's going to be like, yeah, you know, we worked on this. We're bunting more,
and
our jerseys,
the uniforms. Right, I think that gets said by Boone or Cashman.
They do start the season on the road, right, in Houston. So that is an opportunity. And again, like, that is the jersey that Juan Soto will be wearing when he makes his Yankees debut.
There you go.
All right, that
from
is,
the Yankees to the. Sox.
Yes, to the Sox. Couple Red Sox things. Let's begin in Worcester, Mass.
Worcester.
This is not maybe a story that captured a lot of people's attention, but this is the kind of thing we talk about on Friday on Baseball Barbercast.
Everything and nothing captures my attention because I have ADHD.
The Worcester Red Sox, the AAA affiliate of the Boston Red Sox, who, of course, used to be in Pawtucket and have been in Worcester since 2021, have announced a day called Farewell to Fitzy.
Who's Fitzy, Jordan?
Who is Fitzy? Ryan Fitzgerald, a minor league infielder for the Boston Red Sox, has a pretty fascinating development story, which we can kind of get into here. But Ryan Fitzgerald has been with the Woo Sox for the last two full seasons. And he's not made it up to the big leagues.
Wow.
And because Ryan Fitzgerald was selected, and he was a fan favorite, right?
People
loved
him.
He had a mullet, he got the mustache, everybody loved him. He's exactly the kind of player, you know, he's whatever. He had like merch that of like his silhouette, like all the whole thing. They're all about, but again, he never got called up. He was a pretty good AAA player, never made it to the big leagues, but he was selected in the minor league Rule 5 draft by the Kansas City Royals, which means he is not in the Red Sox organization anymore, which means the Worcester faithful will not be able to see Ryan Fitzgerald this upcoming season at Polar Park or, you know, at Fenway or at Fenway Park
or at any park. Really.
And so what they're doing is they're holding a farewell to Fitzy Day this Saturday, where he's going to go. And it's we're talking about Fan Fest. This is a Fitzgerald Fest.
This okay? When I said Glaber Fest,
this is that for a minor league infielder. And I want to be very clear. It sounds like we are going to make fun. This is incredible.
This is an
unbelievable achievement of player connecting with the community to where they want to do this for this player who is gone because not because he's retiring, because he was selected in the minor league Rule 5 and is still trying to make the major leagues.
And then like beat the Red Sox, presumably for the Royals. They're paying for Ryan Fitzgerald's flight.
Yeah.
Right? Like he's lives in Chicago during the offseason, I believe. Like they have to fly him out. They got to put him up.
Yeah.
And they're just rolling out the red carpet for Ryan Fitzgerald.
Yeah. And because the way they're trying, he is the all-time leader in all these categories, 235 games played and runs scored and hits. Now, again, they've only existed for 3 years. So it's like, it also makes me wonder, like, are they just going to do this for anybody that plays there for 3 seasons?
They're like, trying to establish like an early legend.
Which he's perfect.
Players in like the 1880s.
Right.
This is Ryan Fitzgerald is that for the Woo Sox.
Right. Which is just amazing. So anyway, it's an amazing thing.
What's happening during Farewell to Fitzy Day? Can you give me some of the details if I would like to go say farewell to Fitzy?
Oh, again. So of course he's going to do a whole, you know, you can go meet him. There's a whole luncheon. There's, you know, pictures and autographs. There's going to be a panel talking about his memories. 2 seasons, but you know, memories, all these things, all his merch is going to be available like at a discount. You can go buy all of his shirts. And then to conclude the farewell celebration,
to cap it off,
he will drop the puck at the Worcester Railers game, the EHL minor league hockey game.
ECHL.
And he is going to sign autographs during the first intermission of the game. So farewell to Fitzy. He's going to now go to Omaha in theory, and they're going to be like, who are you?
He's going to be like, watch this.
The real question is, I can't remember because AAA has changed so often. I don't think they're in the same.
No, they don't.
Right?
There's no homecoming.
He's not going to be able to go play there again. But anyway, maybe, you know, if he makes, I guess the real question is to like check the Royals schedule and see when they're in Boston, if he does make it up with Kansas City, because this is a guy who, again, has been, he was undrafted. And he basically worked his way very in tune with swing mechanics and kind of just advanced, you know, hitting approaches. It's a wild thing. And I hope he enjoys it. Live it up, dude, because this is not something that you are going to see very often. Which is pretty freaking sweet. The Royals are in Boston, July 12th to the 14th.
No, but what's funny is that won't mean anything to most Red Sox fans.
I know, like, but I'm just saying that like the whole, all of Worcester is showing up for that game.
Oh my God.
Because like it's the Royals anyway. Like they're buying out a whole section. They're going to. I mean, think about like there. Here's the thing about this. There must have been demand for this. Like this was not. There must have been Worcester season ticket holders, or whatever. They were like, we need to do something to say goodbye to this guy, and they do. They're doing it. It's amazing. I love it. Farewell, Fitzy. One more Major League Baseball adjacent thing, which Jake has not seen, but I think this is so funny. So, Peter Gammons, legendary. I mean, GOAT. He's on GOAT. You know, Mount Rushmore of baseball writing, of course. And Peter Gammons' Twitter is truly one of a kind. Now that
it has
means
been
a lot
one
of things.
A kind. It has been one of a kind for a long time.
Yes, yes. And
that is a product of the year in which he was born and the year in which Twitter came out.
Yes,
being incredibly far apart.
Yes, yes. However, he's been posting for a long time. And he has a very, just a fascinating syntax and just the way that he talks about
the way that he tweets.
The way that he tweets and the way that he kind of writes and observes and analyzes, like he is capable of firing off some absolute fuego, like hot takes that you couldn't even achieve. Right. And he delivered, I don't know if this is a hot take, but this just made me smile and laugh so much. And so I told Jake, like, did you see the Peter Gammons tweet about Jordan Montgomery? And you said no, and then you started to guess what it is. And before we started recording, you started guessing what this tweet was. And now there's no way you're going to be able to figure out the exact wording.
Right.
But I'm going to bring it up again. Why did I want to talk about a tweet that Peter Gammons wrote about? Now, I'm going to tell you, it is a tweet, and then it is a quote tweet of himself. So it's like a two-parter.
Okay. So my first thought, obviously, was it has to do with the Cape Cod League, because everything that Gammons tweets...
It's like the equivalent of like John Morosi with the World Baseball Classic.
Yeah.
It's like anything at any time, no matter whether the WBC is now for another 3 years, it's like blah, blah, blah. He pitched for Team Venezuela in 2006.
This guy's from Madagascar. Like, he's their ace.
Right. So Peter Gammons, of course, a New England legend, likes to reference the Cape Cod League at all turns. Oftentimes, it is quite illuminating. And I'm like, oh, shit. Like, that's really cool that there's that connection.
But
this is not Cape Cod League related.
It'll be like Aaron Judge, 62 home runs, never played in Cape Cod League.
Right. So it's like, how good is he really? Right. Although now I am wondering if Jordan Montgomery ever did
play in the Cape, though.
I'm checking if Jordan Montgomery ever did. Okay, I don't believe he did.
Okay, so
it is not Cape Cod League.
It's not about the Cape. My other guess has to do with Jordan Montgomery's wife is either a doctor or a med student in Boston.
Yes.
And so my next guess is that there was some medical situation where Jordan Montgomery's wife was like the doctor for either a Gammons family member or another Boston area sports person.
Okay.
So it's like, it would have been, you know, like the tweet he's quote tweeting is like, Lou Merlone has appendectomy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, quote tweet,
Thanks to Jordan Montgomery's wife
right. who performed appendectomy on Lou Merlone.
Okay. Amazing guess. Not correct, but you are correct. It does have to do with Jordan Montgomery's wife.
Doctoring.
Yes. Okay. So it is a wife, not fiance. Okay. So yes, that is the genre. Okay.
So you
nailed that.
Okay.
However, you are still, this is delightful. Okay. Here's the tweet. Here's the first tweet from Peter Gammons. And again, it is so important to read it exactly as is.
Correct.
Here's the tweet. Friend was visiting an indoor Boston College baseball practice this week and noticed a Texas Rangers equipment bag. Told it belongs
Pause. Friend was attending indoor Boston College baseball practice this week.
Yes.
That's Peter Gammons.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Continue.
Love it.
Told it belongs to Jordan Montgomery. He got all excited being a Red Sox fan. Told Mackenzie Montgomery is interning at a Boston hospital.
Yep.
So that is basically being like, guy sees Jordan Montgomery in Boston, gets excited, thinks he's coming to the Red Sox, and then he finds out, oh no. Oh, Mackenzie Montgomery is interning at a Boston hospital.
Ugh.
Okay. To which Peter Gammons quote tweets, this is just, oh my gosh, this is an all-timer. This is what his quote tweet is. Oh, by the way, this is at 5:30 a.m.
Rise and grind, baby. Rise and grind.
Wait, was the first tweet? Yeah, this is both at 5:30 a.m. Quote, only a Red Sox fan in a dark winter be disappointed in an exceptionally bright woman in the early stages of a career serving others. So again, the narrative here is Red Sox fan is pissed that Jordan Montgomery is not coming to the Red Sox because his wife is trying to become a doctor. And Peter Gammons is like, only a Red Sox fan
in this winter
would be mad about this exceptionally bright woman in the early stages of a career serving others.
And you know what? Yes.
He's, again,
spot on.
He absolutely nailed it.
Gammo don't miss.
Gammo, the goat. We have one final topic, Jake, before we say goodbye.
Yeah.
We've been all over the place on this episode of Baseball Barbercast.
A lot of places.
By the way, you can email us at baseballbarbercast@gmail.com. That's BARBcast. And we had a email question recently about, well, so we were talking about Jordan Hicks originally and how he's, you know, one of the hardest throwers on earth, 100th percentile fastball velocity in the major leagues. And then we were talking about Jake's fastball percentile velocity as a podcaster. And someone emailed us saying, how do you think your velocity right now compares to that of Jerry DePoto, also a podcaster. Now, you know, Jerry has not podcasted for a while. It sounds like probably the Mariners are like, hey, Jerry, maybe we don't.
No more. No more.
Jerry's probably realized like, probably don't need to talk as much. I don't think we're going to hear from him until Mitch Garver like has a three-homer game in April.
Jerfest.
Anyway, But then when we got that question, I was like, that's a great question. Jerry Dipoto, of course, a former major league pitcher who's not that old, right?
And not that young,
and not that young, but definitely stays in shape. We know he's very constantly seen on various, hotel gym treadmills. He is an in shape. He's definitely in shape.
More in shape than Ryan Divish, even.
Yes. However, how hard is he throwing now? And we were like, wait a minute. Jerry's son, Jonah Dipoto, who, by the way, is a minor league pitcher with the Royals and is probably going to be in the big leagues this year. Jonah's followed us for a while, and we've messaged with him before. It's like, oh, if anybody's going to know this, it's probably Jonah Dipoto. I just dropped him a DM.
Hey, bro.
Said, hey, how hard's your dad throw? That's not exactly what I wrote. But so he was obviously very amused. And this was Jonah's response. He said, I've played catch with him. He thinks it's very funny. I've played catch with him this offseason, by no means high effort, and not sure when the last time he threw a ball max effort was. I think he's got 82 to 83 in the tank. Not sure if he'd agree with me, but I think he can rip it a little.
Okay. So I cannot throw 83 right now.
Yes.
I could pull down 83.
Yeah, like crow hop, probably. Yeah.
I think if you gave me a month,
you could probably do it again.
I could not do it.
I think if you gave me
2 years, I couldn't do it either. Okay. I don't think I could. I don't think there's any series of events I could undergo in my life that could get me back to 83.
Wow.
My elbow's still.
No, I know. It's not doing
obliterated.
Great. It's not doing great. But so if Jonah's right, then Jerry's got you. But it doesn't sound like Jonah knows for sure.
I think Jonah is totally wrong. Mm-hmm. I don't think that there are many human beings that can throw it. Like 83 is pretty hard.
Yeah. No, I agree.
But he's also he's played more catch with Jerry Dipoto.
Like, yeah. And recently, and like Jonah is also, when he's not playing catch with Jerry, he's playing catch with major, like, or whatever, professional baseball players. So like he would have a good sense for this. Maybe he's gassing his dad up, which is fair, but I don't know.
Which is fair.
I think this is a mystery we should continue to poke at.
Yeah.
If I see Jerry Dipoto in spring training, I won't ask him if he needs to say bring the podcast back. I'll just say, Jerry, how hard do you throw?
Yeah.
We'll see. So yeah, there you go. That's
Thank you, Jonah.
All right, I think that's it. We're gonna end the podcast here. I would encourage people who are hankering for baseball, the winter leagues are both in their final series, or the Venezuelan and Dominican winter leagues. Licey can clinch the championship tonight. They're back-to-back. They're up 3-2. Game 6 tonight. And if you ever see us tweeting out clips of Franklin Mirabal, their broadcaster, being unbelievably excited, he will be on the call tonight for a potential championship clinching game. So that is very exciting. The Venezuelan Winter League, I know Tiburones, the team that Ronald Acuna was playing for, he's not there anymore. They are going for the sweep, I believe. That game is on Saturday, and they haven't won the championship there in like 30, 40 years. So expect some quality Winter League highlights this weekend at the very least. Otherwise, thank you all for listening to this episode of Baseball Barbercast. Thank you to Jake Mintz for visiting me in the middle of nowhere. Thank you to producer Chris for producing this podcast as if it was any other podcast. We appreciate it as always.
Love you.
We hope everybody has a wonderful weekend. We'll be back next week. Jake will be tracking continue. You can't stay still. Jake's been all over the place. Jake, where are you going next week?
Oh, get in. I am headed to the Universal Kingdom. Nope. Not what it's called. I'm going to the UK for a week to watch some footy.
Going to replace Klopp?
I'm going to replace Klopp. You know that clip of Paul O'Neill when he kicked the ball into the infield?
Yes.
I'm basically going to go watch that clip in
over England. And over. And the ball will be bigger.
Over and over again. One of my very good friends lives in Europe, and I'm going to visit him in England, and I'm going to watch some football. Cool.
So
I'm going to say get in like 50
and
times.
And if Jake wasn't just in Australia, I would be, stressed about the time zones, but it's nothing.
We'll
make it work. This will be way easier. But Jake will be in England. We'll be back on Monday. Thank you all for listening. We will talk to you all very soon. Have a good weekend.
Goodbye.
SiriusXM Podcasts.